Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
It's neat to be sharing here today. You get to hear my wife, Leanne, speak on a fairly regular basis, and we've been a part of Living Waters for, I guess, 11 or 12 years now. It's been a long time being a part of this church community, and I wanted to start by saying just how grateful we are for this home base. We're grateful for your financial support, your prayer support of our missions work. It means a great deal to us. And our three kids have grown up in Living Waters. Ben is at the back right there. He'll be leading, I think, here next Sunday. Back when he was like eight, he was on media because we had nobody to do media. And so we'd be leading worship and be like, Ben, can you please change the slide? Because he would miss some of those things as an eight-year-old. Robin's in the middle, and she is a part of Ladner Pentecostal Church and is on the worship team there. Nick is on the left, and he's got his arm around Rachel, his fiance. They got engaged just before Christmas, and so if you see them lead together, you'll notice that Rachel raises her hand like this all the time, like when she worships. It's just different how she flashes that ring finger around. So we're planning a wedding for August, and you can also see that we have a dog named Mary, and it's Merry, not Mary. But that really causes a lot of confusion to people. They think we have a weird dog name, and yes, we do. And we didn't realize it was a problem until after we named it and figured out that there were two Marys, and it's trouble. Leanne and I struggle in our parenting of the dog more than the parenting of our kids. As you can see, the dog is wearing a sweater because somehow Leanne thinks that the dog is a person. And I did not put that sweater on. It's bad. It got so bad that last night Leanne put a heating pad on the dog's chair to make sure the dog was comfortable. And I'm like, no, no. And she's like, you're so cruel. And I'm like, so I let her plug the heating pad in and then snuck over about 6 minutes later and unplugged it. It's like, wow, this is a dog. So we have our issues. We work for International Missions of the POC. We're involved in missions leadership with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And my role is to find, assess, train, and care for all of our global workers around the world. And we have about 330 in 60 different countries, and life is never dull. It's pretty exciting, and sometimes I feel I have the hardest job in the world, working with all the complexities of that, and many days I feel like I have the best job in the world, as I get to hear about the great things that God is doing everywhere. Leanne leads our national POC women's initiative called Zoe Networks. And you'll recognize the name Zoe because Zoe started right here at Living Waters. And it's now become our national mission strategy and initiative for connecting our Canadian churches with the work that is going on overseas with women. And it's incredible. And I want to say thank you for launching Leanne really well as a church family. Pretty proud husband. Whenever we can, we work together. And recently, we were in Haiti in the Dominican Republic, ministering to our missions family in those places. And it was quite something to go to bed in Haiti with the fireworks going off and then realizing that it wasn't fireworks, that it was gunfire going on. It's a pretty messed up country. But yet, God has called workers to be there and to make a difference in crazy places. As we work, we're really consumed by one passage of scripture in particular. It's something I think about on a daily basis. And it's the words of Jesus, where he says in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are several commands in there. There's go, a movement from one place to another, or movement from one place to a someone. There's a make disciples, investing in the lives of others through deep relationship. There's baptizing, inviting people into relationship with God. And I am looking forward to Easter Sunday when we do that right here. And that passage is significant to me because the need is still so great. This is a map of unreached people groups around the world, and you see that swath of red. There are still so many who have yet to hear about Jesus. And I like this map. It makes me smile every time I see it because you'll notice that Newfoundland is uninhabited on this map. And so whenever I see this map, I think of Mike Vaders. Mike Vaders is from a place where no one is from. Yeah. But seriously, there are 16,000 people groups in the world. And of those people groups, 6,600 of them remain unreached. What is unreached peoples? An unreached or least reached people is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. In other words, there's not enough momentum to do evangelism. There may be somebody there, but not many. To put it another way, our world's population is 7.29 billion, and there are over 3 billion yet to be reached with the message of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 says, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." We are praying for more workers who will go and make disciples because those billions need to hear the life-changing, life-transforming message of Jesus. They need to hear. I want to tell you a story this morning of a fella in North Africa. I can't name the country. I can just stick a bunch of countries up there. I can't name our worker who is there, but I can tell you that there was a young man named Mohammed, and he grew up in a small village in North Africa. Everyone in his village and everyone in his family was a Muslim. There were no non-Muslims there. From a very young age, he wanted to please Allah. And during Ramadan, he would fast and encourage all of his friends to do the same. He was the one who would insist that they all come to the mosque for evening prayers during Ramadan and recite the Quran for hours. But one night, he had a dream. And in his dream, he was at his Quranic school and in the courtyard of his school. And he was being chased by the devil. He was frantically trying to run away. And he ran here, he ran there, but the devil was still chasing him. And he ran up a flight of stairs and threw his arms around a pillar at the top of the stairs, and the devil left. And when he looked up the pillar, it was not a pillar, but it was a cross. And he wondered what it meant. In 2005, our workers, a family of four, moved to North Africa to do language learning and to begin a business. You couldn't go in as a missionary, so they went in and started a business. In 2007, they moved to Mohammed's province. In Mohammed's province, there was 1 million people, and there was one known believer. They called him One in a Million Man. That was his nickname. Have you met One in a Million Man? So there was one known believer in 2007. But by September 20th, 2008, a family and two single ladies came to our worker's house, and they had a time of discussion and prayer along with a couple of other expatriate Christians in the city. And at the end of the night, they decided to gather on a weekly basis to worship, learn from the Word, and pray together. And I remember talking to my friend, our worker, and he said, "I went upstairs to make tea with my wife for our guests and realized what a significant moment this was. We had planted a church in the province where there was only one believer. And this was the beginning of that." And it was to that gathering that Mohammed was invited by an uncle in the second to last year of high school to go to that gathering. And it was there that he heard about Jesus. He heard about the cross and what it meant. He had a lot of questions. He began to read the Bible and to compare it with the Quran. He would ask questions at the Sunday group. He would also ask questions of the imam at the mosque, and the imam was not really thrilled with the questions and wouldn't answer them. And after several months of wrestling, reading, and questioning, he chose the path of the Messiah. He was discipled by our worker. In fact, he actually moved into our worker's home and was discipled on an ongoing basis in his walk with Jesus. And one of the key moments, because this is a family of four, one of the key moments for Muhammad was he walked upstairs and observed the mom and the dad praying at bedtime with their kids. And those bedtime prayers just rocked him. Like the intimacy, the connection with God, the openness of the relationship, a God who loves, it was just profound in his life, transformational. The following summer, he was baptized in a small inflatable pool. There were six other people who were baptized at the same time. I wish I could have been there. And they did it kind of on a camp out. That was how they pulled it off. And he started to share boldly at his high school. He would get in trouble with his teachers because the rules of the country, it's illegal in the country to disturb the faith of a Muslim. But he had a friend who was interested in, and he gave his friend a Bible, and that friend accepted Christ as well. And Muhammad got to baptize him. They began to lead others to Christ, and soon there was about 40 believers who would gather in our worker's home and other places to learn about Jesus. And then came the Arab Spring, and our workers had to leave. They had to leave the country with their family. And we wondered what would happen to this young fledgling church. Well, in 2014, our worker was invited to go back to Muhammad's wedding. And he went back into the country. We had hoped that the records would have been lost about who our worker was, and they were lost, so he was able to just enter easily. And they went to the village wedding, the cultural wedding, and then Muhammad and Fatima wanted to have a Christian wedding. And so they rented a house at the beach and took over the basement, locked the doors, made sure it was just family who were trustworthy and believers, and they did a Christian wedding. Muhammad washed Fatima's feet, which in that culture would have been revolutionary, just pretty wild. And then they did communion. And as they're doing communion, it's getting passed down the aisle, like the bread and the juice. And one of the aunts, who's not a believer, reached for it. Well, you don't do that. And so the Christian beside her said, no, that's just for the believers. And she said, but I want to become one. And she said it quite loudly. It interrupted the wedding. And so they stopped the wedding and a letter to Jesus. It was like Story Sunday right there in the wedding, you know, like it just kind of happened. And after the wedding, about half of the wedding party went down to the beach and they did a water baptism for Muhammad's sister and his new brother-in-law. And the church is about 75 or 80 people. It continues to grow. And when I hear this story, I feel connected to it. I felt like shouting, dancing, like laughing out loud and celebrating the way that our God works. Somehow, in this weird kind of way, I felt a part of it. Leanne and I had ministered to our worker and his family. We're part of the team that sent them, and the churches that we work with support them. We prayed with them when they had to leave their country due to turmoil. Somehow, this joyful mission story is ours together. It's not separate. It's not theirs over there. It's ours. Our theme verse for this year really illustrates this well. And let me start with actually the verse before and say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And you see in that passage those underlined words, saved, call, believe, hear, preach, send. They're all kind of connected. And Paul, as he's written this, has connected each of them together. There's this journey going on. And I want to look at those words backwards. I want to start at the end, that sent part. As a church family, we send out global workers. This year, we're sending out Matt and Amber and Zach and Megan. We've sent out others. And I think Doug was saying that 8 out of the 12 that we support, we've actually sent out from Living Waters. We keep on sending. Sending involves finances. Our global workers receive monthly support so that they can be overseas in a sustainable fashion long term. We believe that long-term missions brings great results. These finances are given by you, our church family. And at Living Waters, we've invited you to participate by setting aside money above and beyond your tithes for missions giving. It may mean sacrificing a Starbucks. And for some of you, it may mean, if you're the other kind of side of the coin, it may mean giving up Tim Hortons. But how? I mean, that's pretty easy to do. There's no sacrifice involved in that. Yes, I am Canadian. Sorry, it may not seem like it, but it may mean sacrificing something in order to do that. And I know Leanne and I, every March, we take time to pray about what we're going to do as a couple, as a family. And make a monthly commitment. These commitments allow us as a church family to determine what our missions budget will be and how we can help. Sending involves prayer. We invite you to pray for our global workers. In my missions world, I get to hear the stories again and again from our global workers who say, "You would not believe what happened, Darcy. We were facing this situation, and one of our supporting churches sent us an email with a verse of scripture and said that they were praying for us, and we checked the timestamp, and it was exactly at the time that we were facing our situation." And that is not uncommon. We serve a supernatural God. He can connect and understand time zones far better than us. And so pray for our global workers. Sending involves encouragement and blessing. We love how Living Waters sends birthday cards, little blessings throughout the year, and you can be a part of that encouragement. Sending involves a networking of resources. A couple of years ago, one of our global workers had their laptop just become toast. It stopped working and was not going to be repairable, and they called Doug to ask if Living Waters could be able to help with that need. Well, while Doug was talking, there was a technician in the room working on some other stuff and heard Doug say, "You know, at this point, we can't. We don't have that in our missions budget. We can't help with that." And the technician said, "You know what? I can help with that." And he stepped up and he said, and he did. They got a new laptop computer from the technician. He just stepped up with his resources and bless him. We have a Living Waters family that has made a vehicle available for workers while they're home. Sometimes this means Living Waters people going out to our global workers and encouraging them, helping them with buildings, with ministry projects, using the gifts and talents that they have in order to make a difference. We had one of our couples go to Malawi to be with Chris and Heather Brooks and make a difference. You can be a part of that. Your gifts, whatever they are, can be used. Sending. Our workers preach and share Jesus. Leanne and I spent time with Alexei and Tanya Pankov in Altai in Siberia at one of their house church plants in a little apartment with seven people who had supernaturally come to know Jesus. And it was so cool to watch Alexei at work sharing Jesus. You know, we've had Jeff and Danielle here home having a baby, but when they're in their country, they have been sharing, even while they're just in the preliminary part of their missions work, doing language learning, they're sharing the gospel with neighbors, Muslim neighbors, and they said it's wild. The one neighbor keeps coming back with more questions. The conversations are not short, they're long. There's a hunger for them to know, and they get to share Jesus. Unreached people hear about Jesus. We're blessed to have Dave and Henny Thermoset, who share Jesus through Bible translation. And as a result of their work, the story of Jesus is told in a people's heart language, and they hear it as theirs. And it's amazing what happens when you share the word of God in a people's heart language. We had one worker who met with a group of women and shared the story of Jesus in their language, used a Bible, used flannel graph, actually, like to have, you know, the story of Jesus go across the flannel. It was total old school, but they got it, and they were so excited. But a couple of hours later, there was an angry knock at the door, and it was the men from that community, and they were upset. And so the missionary let them in to deal with this, and they said, "Why did you not tell us? Why did you not tell us the story?" So they got the flannel graph back out, told it all over again. Like it was, people get to hear for the first time. We have missionaries in Senegal, Phil and Judy Bowler. It's a Muslim nation, and they have little memory sticks that have audio files on them, audio files that share morality stories, which are stories of Jesus. And they give out little speakers that have the little USB jacks in them. They hand those out, and they'll give them out, and people will share them in their homes. They'll turn it on at night, and they'll play it loud enough that there'll be groups of 20, 30, 40 who will gather outside of the window to hear these morality stories of Jesus. And people believe. This is a picture of Christo and Sarah in Chennai, India, some of the workers we support. And when the gospel is shared, people believed. In India, in these guys' region, they can serve many gods or believe in many gods. But when they are baptized in water, they say no to all the other gods, and they say that Jesus is the only way. So this is a significant moment in the life of this woman being baptized. And I love seeing Sarah in her sari, you know, like that's a Langley girl. She grew up, went to high school in Langley and is now in India. This week, I interviewed a worker to the Middle East who had just shared Jesus with an Iranian family on vacation in Turkey. So this family goes on vacation in Turkey, runs into our global worker, hears about Jesus, believes, and is transformed. And has now gone back to Iran. We can't send workers there, but people come out for vacation and meet Jesus. People call out to Jesus and are saved. Lives are changed. It's, you know, when you're saved by Christ, it means eternity in heaven, but it also means that things happen here on earth, that your life is different. Leanne and I were in Siberia, and we were picked up by a rather rough-looking individual. Kind of shaved head and scars all over his head, like just tough-looking, big guy, and tattoos kind of all over, and they weren't John 3:16 tattoos. They were a little rougher than that, and he looked scary. He opened his mouth and his teeth, half of them were broken. There were a few gold teeth in there as well. Like it looked like a bad movie. And the only reason we went with him is because he had a sign, Darcy and Leanne. So, okay, we'll go with him. Got him in his little car. And you're like, what is going on? But then he starts to share his story of how he was freed from addictions when he met Jesus, how he was freed from a criminal gang lifestyle, served his time, and the church supported him, full of faith, full of vision, and how God was calling him and his wife to Mongolia to be missionaries. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like, here's a transformed life. And there was just joy all over his face. And I think that he's going to be an effective missionary in Mongolia. Because he's scary. Like, people will want to serve Jesus. No pressure. sending makes a difference in the lives of people. This is a picture of Jonathan and Vera, who we support, and their boys, Daniel and Paul. And we have a couple of videos from people who they work with just to say thank you, and I want you to listen to them.
Thank you so much for sending Jonathan to... it has been a great blessing studying under him. I just started my ministry in counseling this year, and it has like helped me a lot studying under him. Like, his teaching has been some other times it's like mind-blowing and a lot of revelation. And actually it's not only just studies, but the teaching has been a life transforming, not only me, but it has helped me to share the teaching with others and even to impact others' lives. Thank you so much for sending Jonathan. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Lakshmi Karunajeeva. I'm a director in Navodaya Special Children Foundation, and we have 50 special needs children, and we help these children. And actually, I want to thank my friends, John and Vera. They help us, and it's a great help. Thank you, and thank all of you, and God bless. Bye.
You're connected to her. You sent Jonathan and Vera, and now her life is changed, as are those 50 kids. John and Nancy Engels work with university students here in BC in chaplaincy ministries, and one of their students wants to say thank you as well.
Thank you. Boop, boop. Okay. Hi, this is Karina. She's a student at University of Fraser Valley, and we just invited her here to say a few words.
Hi, I just want to thank all of you for sending Nancy and John to UCM. They've had a great influence on my life over the past few years. I remember when I was in my first year and I was kind of shy to meet people and step out and contribute to our discussions during Bible study, but John was always encouraging about being bold and sharing my thoughts, so that meant a lot to me. And Nancy's mentorship over the past couple years has also been very impactful, and just seeing her encouragement and authentic way of living, and has meant a lot to me. And I just am encouraged by their affirmation of me as a leader too, and encouraging me to step out in my giftings. So they've had a great impact on my life. So thank you.
Yay, thanks, Karina. Appreciate it.
Somehow that connection can come back at us. And we also support Aaron and Rebecca, and Aaron and Rebecca are in Restricted Access Asia. And I want you to listen to what their students say and allow it to hit you and just reflect on what God can do.
Hello.
Hello.
We are English in class. Hello, my name is Wen Yu. I'm thankful for Aaron and Rebecca can help me teaching me English and improving my English.
Hello, I'm Edith. I'm very thankful to Aaron and Rebecca. They teach me a lot of Bible stories and improve my character. And I learned a lot of foreign cultures from them. Thank you.
When I hear them speak and think about Aaron and Rebecca, I'm impacted. I think about what could we do here in Langley with the immigrants who come to our community. There's an intentionality with what Aaron and Rebecca are doing that's really special. I think about the people who I hang out with on Saturdays, and how could I share Jesus with them, with the people who I work with or you work with, and in your neighborhood. Sending makes a difference.